The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, recently we were joined by cardiologist and author of The Heart Book, Professor Robert Kelly, because we invited him back thinking in the new year when people are talking about trying to better themselves and get their health in order, it would be a timely moment to reintroduce the topic of heart health and generally lifestyle health as well, because the two, in your mind, Robert, are linked.
So, Pat, thank you for having me back. Yes, the heart and the lifestyle are intricately linked, because if you can look after your lifestyle, you can invariably look after your heart.
Now, this area of lifestyle medicine, is it relatively new?
So it's been around probably for about 30 years. It's become back into vogue, I'd say, in the last 10 years. That's how I got introduced to it. And just for the listener, lifestyle medicine is about preventing, it's about treating, and then it's about potentially reversing certain chronic diseases like diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, obesity, which cause the preponderance of admissions to hospital. It causes most of the chronic diseases that make people sick. And so the opportunities, if you can prevent these things, it means that you have a much healthier population.
Now, obviously, there are some things you can't reverse, like type 1 diabetes, but type 2 you can reverse, and people often are on medication and finally can abandon that medication.
Absolutely. So type 2 diabetes, you can reverse it as a consequence of changing the diet by reducing your sugar and your calorie intake. It's very well studied over the last 10 years. And so the opportunity is there that you can make changes, that you can sustain, and that you can actually make type 2 diabetes go away.
Is heart disease still the biggest killer, or has it been overtaken by cancer, for example?
No, heart disease is very much the biggest killer. And sometimes people, particularly women, get distracted by the idea that breast cancer is a more common cause of death, when actually heart disease is a more common cause of death, particularly amongst women.
So that's the extraordinary thing. People hear about a friend having breast cancer and they become alarmed, but someone might be struggling with a heart condition and nobody pays any bit of attention to it at all.
The other alarming thing is that the vast majority of people, if you go out and do particular heart tests, one of which is an imaging test called a cardiac CT scan, about 60% of men over the age of 40 will have plaque in their arteries, and about 40% of women. And a large proportion of people like that don't know they have that problem.
How much of that is genetic?
So about 20% of the risk is genetic. It's very similar to forms of cancer. So the genetic risk is very, very low. It's a very useful flag to identify risk, and absolutely people should get checked out. But 80% of the cause of chronic diseases, including heart disease, comes from the way you live your life.
Now, people live their lives in different ways at different stages. For example, when you're a teenager, you might be out playing football three times a week and you may be doing other things. Or alternatively, you may be glued to your phone. I mean, this is a new phenomenon where running has been replaced by staring, which is tragic, really. But the early exercise that you take, does that have a lifelong benefit?
Absolutely. So if you want to do anything in your life to improve your health, take up exercise early in life. Now, I met a wonderful patient last week who said to me the program that he's involved in. He's an Olympian athlete. He's in his 70s. And he's involved in a particular area of exercise in Ireland where they encourage kids to have fun as they take up the exercise. So the emphasis in your early teens is all about enjoying the activity you do. When you want to become more competitive and you want to compete like he does, you wait till later in your teens, but you get into the exercise and get into the activity first.
Get into the activity first. In other words, have the fun.
Meet the other kids. Enjoy what you're
now,
doing.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of it has become too competitive too early, and it excludes a lot of kids from the fun.
And that's a huge problem. And I think parents should understand that really the emphasis is getting people out there, getting their kids out there, doing things ideally with other kids. And those actually factors are of a huge bearing on your future health as you go through the whole of your life, i.e. taking physical activity, meeting up with other people, enjoying the company of friends and family.
That benefits mental health as well, that sense of community and socialising.
And also talking to other people. I mean, the concern at the moment is that the mental health crisis is getting bigger and bigger.
Now, moving on to the later stages, and there are people listening now who are looking back at their Christmas and thinking, my God, I didn't get off the couch. I watched so many movies. I streamed so many hours of TV. And now I want the new beginning. It's January. What do you say to those people?
So my mantra is small steps. So pick something easy for yourself to do. Okay, Christmas is a time that you celebrate with family. I'm very much of the 80%, 20% rule. So if you make a good effort towards your health 80% of the time, you can forgive yourself for the 20% of the time. Now, do not beat yourself up. Don't judge yourself. The idea here is to make a small step each day to help you become more healthy. And if you can hold it in your mind that you're a healthy person, you can do lots of little things every day to make yourself more healthy.
Now, they're the extremists who are already running half marathons and who feel they want to improve their health. Is there anything really more they can do that would benefit them, or are they doing enough?
So I say to most people, because I've been asked to go on different shows to talk about this, and you know, 80 to 90% of people I see are not the extremists of this world. I see ordinary people who do not go out and run half marathons, some of whom just want to get off that couch. They want to be able to lift a grandchild without getting short of breath. They want to be able to get up the stairs. It's not about competition. The competitive athlete can always fine-tune themselves by tracking different
devices. But they're not going to live longer necessarily, are they, by fine-tuning?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, the irony is you meet plenty of athletes or families of athletes who've dropped dead suddenly at all ages of life, including later stages of life, from the same things that the non-extreme athlete dies from.
Okay, so less might be more in their case.
Less might be more and might be much more beneficial in their case.
So in terms of the person who's getting up off the couch and who really hasn't been doing much, what would you say is the minimum you can do to get some benefit?
So I would say that the trick here is to get into a routine where you do something. Now, doing something can be tiny. There's a story I was told over Christmas, which might be that you might drive as far as the gym and walk in the front door and then go back in the car and drive home again. And that might just start you off that week two. You might actually go further into the gym and do an exercise. So it can be as little as that. It can be something that starts you off, that you enjoy doing it. And in building that up, Pat, over a period of time, which can be very, very short, you get an incremental gain from this. But the purpose is to get you into the routine of actually going out there and doing
the behavior. You mentioned the gym, and obviously there are gym bunnies around the place and the Body Beautiful and all of that. And people are sometimes very sensitive about exposing themselves in, you know, their 2005 tracksuit when you've got all these people in their Lululemons all around you exercising and so on. You don't have to start in the gym.
Absolutely not. I mean, you can even start in your house. You could do something simple. So, you know, if you're able to do this, so be mindful that you're able. You could get out of bed in the morning. You could get down on the floor and do one push-up. And then tomorrow you could do two. And if you found that was a bit of a push the next day, you could stick to two. And then you could do three on Saturday. You could do perhaps another three on Sunday. And you could increase that slowly. And, you know, the mathematics of this is over a calendar year, you could increase that by almost 35-fold. So you could be doing 200 push-ups at the end of the year. Now, again, only if you're able to. But the same applies to lots of little exercises. Go out the front door, walk up and down the road and just do that to start and then walk a little bit further after a couple of days.
So you can actually pretend you're going to the shop. So there's no kind of issue. There he goes again. He's out trying to get a bit of exercise. You can actually just walk to the shop, walk back.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely. That's all you need to do. But you will find you have to set a goal for yourself in terms of something to aim for. But at the same time, you have to have a frame of mind that you actually want to be healthier and you want to be the person who's taking on the exercise. So sometimes if you have a frame of mind like you're a walker, well, what does a walker do? A walker obviously walks, but a walker probably takes care of their physical health as well by virtue of what they eat, by getting a good routine in terms of going to bed, by managing stress and by managing any aspect of sleep and meeting other people. So if you have that frame of mind, then there are little behaviours, like we said, about walking to the shop.
People can have all sorts of devices to help them with their exercise, counting their paces, watching their heart rate. You can get blood pressure monitors that you can strap to your wrist. There are all sorts of things you can get. What's your view on those? Are they helpful?
So if you want to talk about the 85% of people who are just trying to get started, I would say to you the most useful things to make your behaviour work, apart from having the desire and the goal to do it, is to get somebody to help you out. So if you're that man who wants to go to the shop, get your partner to go with you or get a friend to meet you and go for the walk. And the idea that you have to meet them usually makes you more inclined to go and do that.
Rescue a dog.
whatever you like.
And that dog will insist on going for a walk.
Absolutely. And then the second thing that's really, really useful, I find, in tracking is to actually write out your own little spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet. Write down the behaviours that you do today that are good for you and give yourself a score. Now, you have to write down the behaviours that you did that you weren't supposed to do, like you had the dessert or you had a glass of wine or you did those other things. And you have to be honest to track that. And if you track that and check in with that every day, you'll get a good sense as to whether you're doing the right things. It'll also inform you at the end of the day that maybe tomorrow, less sugar, maybe not the glass of wine, and maybe do a little bit more. That way is the most practical way to get started. All the new Christmas gadgets, I'm not convinced that they make a huge difference in the long term. The elite extreme athletes, they depend and rely on all these different measurements.
Again, is it anything to do with your genetics or is it to do with basic fitness? For example, you look at someone who has one of these watches and they'll tell you, well, my resting heart rate is 60. And then someone else will tell you, well, mine is 43.
So I have all these patients who come in where their watch wakes them up during the night. And the reason for that is a lot of the watches are set that when they go below 40 beats per minute, the watch sets off. So they were sleeping perfectly until the watch woke them up. And I say to them, don't be worried about that because very fit people have low heart rates. The same is true with people who find their heart rates are going very fast with totally unawareness when they're exercising. And again, when you're not very fit, you'll find your heart rate will actually increase. The common theme is if you're not feeling well, then you should clearly go and see somebody medically about that.
Now, you've talked about diet. Is it true that the zero-fat diet doesn't make you live longer, it just feels longer? That's from one of
my listeners. I would say that probably is true. I think that, again, yesterday there's a report on the best diets in the world that comes out at the beginning of January every year. So the Mediterranean keeps on consistently ranking as the number one diet in the world. The Mediterranean diet is very common sense eating. It's a little bit of healthy fruit, vegetables, more whole grain nuts, less red meat, much more fish. You're allowed a glass of wine and it encourages you to drink plenty of fluid. But it also includes that it's not just a diet. It's about taking exercise and getting out for a walk. And it also encourages strongly that you do it with other people.
If you're trying to maintain a reasonable level of health, what is the, say, brisk walking? How much every day do you need, or do you need it every day?
So again, actually, there's an interesting scientific paper over the weekend which shows if you get at least 20 minutes every single day, moderate pace, so that's just about able to talk to the person beside you. And ideally, if you get 150 minutes of exercise like that every single week, that will prevent you getting most chronic diseases.
Now, sometimes interventions are necessary. I mean, you will, as a cardiologist, be recommending stents for some people who badly need to have that artery opened up. There'll be heart meds that you might recommend. Is it possible to avoid all of these kind of interventions, or are they sometimes absolutely vital?
So as we said about the kids exercising, the important point is if you have an early introduction to a more healthier lifestyle, you have a much better chance of deferring any illness in life. And you may push it out till your late 80s or late 90s, where you may develop those illnesses and that may be appropriate. However, during up to that period of time, I think if you can remain more healthy, that is the key message. Yes, if you need treatments because you have events during your life, they are there to be provided, particularly if you have symptoms or if you have a heart attack.
More from the texters. As someone who was an athlete in my teens, played other sports throughout until my 50s, now in my 70s I have osteoporosis. I'm on meds now, but I'm surprised I got it in the first place given the activity. You know, putting weights on your bones is supposed to prevent that, isn't it?
Well, I think that's true, but the diet is also really, really important. The genetics may have a factor. I met a very nice guy yesterday who's 86 years of age who exercises every day. I said to him, I have a 96-year-old man who does 500 to 600 kilometres every year, but he's very safe about it. He does it around the garden. He doesn't do it on the main road because he finds the paths cause great impact on his joints and ups the risk for having falls. So I think the important message is to continue the exercise, but to be safe in doing it.
I'm in my 60s now, only started to get active in my 40s because I hated sport. I wish someone had introduced me to the concept of exercise and activity when I was younger, as opposed to sport. Sport implies winners and losers and making a team or not. Most of us are not good enough for that, so we drop out. I'm now very active and enjoy exercise and activity, but I'll never make the team. That's from Gronje. Does having HCM affect drinking alcohol? Should I stay away from alcohol?
So HCM is usually a genetic condition. It's called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It has a very significant risk, and that is of sudden cardiac death in younger people, particularly if you take a lot of exercise. In that particular condition, because an increased heart rate is not good for the condition, alcohol is probably best avoided.
20 years ago, I had a dreadful depression and small kids. I decided to see if I could walk as far as my gate. I did that for a week. The following week, I walked as far as my neighbour and carried on step by step each week. I highly recommend step by step because no step is too small. That's from B. I've tried all these different options on losing weight, getting fitter, best ever. And 4 years later, I'm still at the ideal weight for me. I did the carnivore diet, lost 18 kilograms in 10 weeks and so on and so forth. Blood's never better, energy levels like I'm in my 20s. I'm 53. But I do treat myself to 7 pints every Saturday.
I actually think that so the Mediterranean diet allows you to drink approximately 10 to 14 units of alcohol. So that's like 5 pints or 5 or 6 pints of alcohol in the week. The preference would be probably you had the 1 pint spread out on a more regular basis rather than the seven. And you don't say whether it's pints of water, given all that fitness that you've just described.
What to do with a mild heart murmur? Is it genetic or could it have been brought on by life events?
It's more than likely either genetic or depending what age you are, a bit like the osteoporosis comment, the valves in the heart do change as you get older. So you can develop murmurs as you get older in life.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for joining us. The Heart Book, it's not long published, so it's still in all the shops. The Heart Book, it's called Making Positive Changes for a Healthy and Happier Life, which contains all the wisdom we've had in the last few minutes and lots more as well. As I say, it's available everywhere. Professor Robert Kelly, lifestyle medicine physician and health habits coach based in the Beacon in Dublin. Thank you very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.